Great to have you along on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Hi, Larry Mueller here. Happy to have you along today as we begin the program by talking with you about apples. You know, almost every day I bring a lunch. Usually there's a turkey or a chicken sandwich involved, but there's pretty much always involved an apple. And I love apples. I love all kinds of apples, and they're fun to eat. Just, you know, grab an apple and bite into it. But there are also many, many, many other wonderful ways to use apples, as Joan Donatelli is going to be able to tell us. She's the author of a new cookbook. It's called Astonishing Apples. She's owned and operated award-winning restaurants and gourmet grocery delis featuring fresh old world cuisine. She also brings a focus on healthful and tasty dishes to her kitchen classrooms at Lund's and Byerly Cooking School. Joan, thank you so much for joining us today on the Ideas Network.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
Well, it's wonderful, and I've been enjoying going through your cookbook and salivating a bit at the recipes that you have in there. There's some wonderful ones, for sure.
Wonderful.
Well, yeah, and in so many different ways. And I like the fact that you just start out with a little bit of history in your book and talking about Johnny Appleseed. And I guess the story is there, as you say, it's kind of in part true about Johnny Appleseed.
Yeah, he was a really interesting kind of eccentric person, and he really did exist. And he was instrumental in settling the Midwest, starting out in Ohio when they were first going to Ohio and settling that area.
And I like the fact that, as it's not always told, that the reason for spreading those apples around and the reason they were so popular was not so much just for eating the apples, but for the cider it produced.
I know. Isn't that interesting? Who knew? That was the main reason was for producing cider, because they really weren't very good eating apples. And it also gave them a claim to the land. If they were growing something there, they didn't have to actually be there while they were starting out. They could plant a few apple trees and claim it as ownership.
I like this. And from there, we've got, oh, how many apple varieties?
Well, in the U.S., we have over 2,000 varieties. And about 2,500. So that's just mammoth. It's hard to even imagine that many different varieties of apples. And worldwide, there's about over 7,000 different varieties produced. Isn't that just mind-boggling?
It really is. And, you know, typically you go to your farmer's market or you go to your local grocery store, there may be, I don't know, maybe 10 varieties that you'll see typically in a store.
Yeah, and the one thing nice about the apples too is they become sweet and ready to harvest and mature at different times. So you can have fresh apples throughout the year. But of course, in the Midwest, we have challenges with our winters. So having the fresh local apples is really a treat, and that's what it's all about right now, isn't it?
Oh, it sure is. And I noticed in your book, one of the things you had is sort of a chart with the apple varieties of the Midwest and when's the best time to buy those varieties.
Yes.
And but I should mention also that Minnesota Historical Society Press published your book as well. And maybe you should say something. I shouldn't say typical. Your organization of the book, it follows along the lines of many books, many cookbooks, in that you start with appetizers and go from there.
Yes, it was important to have a variety of apple recipes. Of course, we all think of apple pie, apple crisp, applesauce, and there's just so many other wonderful ways to get the ubiquitous apple into the diet. And like you said earlier, it's great just to eat out of hand, but with so many different varieties, it's wonderful to have in salads. It adds crunch to a salad. It adds sweetness and tartness to so many different recipes. You know, I love the soups. And the entrees are really interesting because people just don't think of apples in an entree. But, of course, wherever apples are grown in the world, for instance, Germany grows a lot of apples, and there's it goes right along with that roast pork that we think of as being so German.
Why is it that apples go so well with pork? I was looking at one of your recipes, and I thought, you know, it's true. Apples just go so well with pork.
Yeah, I don't know. It must be kind of the sweetness of the meat maybe goes well with it. But, yeah, it's definitely a classic.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Talking today, by the way, with our guest, Joan Donatelli, is the author of the book Astonishing Apples. Yeah, great to have her along. And I haven't given the phone number for you to join in, and I hope you will right now. What apple recipes have you tried lately? What's your favorite variety of apple? Love to hear from you. 1-800-642-1234. That's our number, 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org, or you can post on our Facebook page. And our Facebook page title, of course, is The Larry Mueller Show. So we'd certainly love to hear from you. So give us a call, shoot us an email, or a post on our Facebook page. Maybe you've got a recipe you want to post it up there. Why? Please feel free to go right ahead and do that. Somebody said, "Oh, what's that? How much does a?" We were talking about this song. Somehow the song, and you may, I'm sure remember this song. I love you, a bushel and a peck. Bushel and a peck and a hug around the neck. Remember that one? From way back, somebody said, well, how much does a peck weigh? And I said, I think it's about a quarter of a bushel.
Yeah, that's always confusing because we're not used to thinking in those terms anymore. But the bushel is about 42 to 48 pounds, and it's about 126 apples. So when you have recipes, you know, how many do I buy? You know, it calls for a cup. Or it calls for three apples. And, of course, an apple can be the size of a cherry or it can be the size of a grapefruit. So for recipes, it gets kind of confusing. But the peck and the bushel are denote a size. Like usually people think of a basket, a bushel basket or a peck. And then, of course, at the apple orchards, they give you the bags that are, you know, it's that certain size.
Mm-hmm. And those little, sometimes you'll get the pack in a little bushel basket, or only it's not a bushel basket, it's a peck basket. And they're kind of cute, though, aren't they?
They are. It's probably a half peck basket. It would be about 5 or 6 pounds. It's about 16 apples. There's still quite a few apples.
And, you know, you're going to get, I think, if you think about, say, you need 2 cups of apples for a recipe, you're going to get maybe a large apple and then some?
Yeah, you know, and that's another interesting thing at the grocery store. Usually the apples that are sold are large unless they're the more economical ones that are bagged up, and those are a little bit smaller. So a large apple is about the size of, oh, just under a softball size, but a little bit bigger than a baseball, mm-hmm. And that's usually 2 cups. It usually comes to me about 2 cups, and that's a nice amount of apple in a recipe.
I agree. And you know, I'm going to admit something here. I have 2 apple slicers. I have, and they both core at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
But one slices half the thickness of the other one. So you get,
mm-hmm.
And I really like those thinner slices for some recipes.
Yes, definitely. I think they came out with the one type, and then they did a new and improved version. And the new one comes, they cut into about 16 slices, I think.
Yeah,
it's perfect to lay on a sandwich or then to chop up for a salad.
Yeah, and they look nice if you make a galette.
Mm-hmm.
They look really nice on one. Well, Dave in Moose Lake has a comment for us. So let's go there. Dave, hi. Thank you for calling.
Yes, I don't know if I got in your program late, but I was reading an article. I said that all the apples in the world came from a mountain. I believe it was in Turkey. Is this true?
Well, they do say in that area, Southwest Asia, and it's like similar to the crab apple. It's a type of crab apple, and there's still some of those wild trees growing there. So it goes way back. Yeah.
Yeah,
it's
interesting,
isn't it?
Yeah, it's amazing, and you're absolutely right, Dave. Somehow this came up on another program. Someone had actually visited that area. It was really quite interesting. It's a very unique kind of climate where these apples have grown, where they originated.
Yes, well, thank you. I was just curious if that was what I read was true, but
yep.
Thank you.
Yeah, you got it right. Again, talking with Joan Donatelli today, author of the new cookbook called Astonishing Apples. Great to have her along, and you can join in at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. I'd love to hear from you. Minnesota is one of, what is it, three apple breeding programs in the United States, is it not? University of Minnesota?
It is, and even though we only produce about, we're number 27 in apple production in the U.S., to have a world-class breeding program right here in the Midwest in Minnesota is really thrilling, and they have done such incredible work there over the last years.
And it really, you know, you talk a little bit about what it takes to develop a world-class apple in your book early on, and there's a lot of research and a lot of testing that goes into it.
Yes, yes. Well, when you consider you don't even get any apples from a tree until it's been planted for 3 years, and the research orchard has 40 acres and over 20,000 trees, and then it takes 3 years for the tree to bear fruit. And it, for instance, with the Honeycrisp, it took 29 years to develop the Honeycrisp.
Wow.
And 19 years to develop the Sweet Tango. And in that process, they have thousands of trees that they try that just don't have the right taste or texture, and they get removed and they try again.
And that apple crisp, that's got to be one of the popular apples.
It is. It's our number one apple, and it's also the state fruit of Minnesota.
Is that right? The apple crisp is?
Mm-hmm. Yep. And it was released in 1991. And, you know, it was really kind of earth-shaking. It redefined how scientists define texture in apples because of its explosive crispness. You know, usually before that, they would just describe the apple as dense or hard or soft. And because the Honeycrisp is so juicy and so explosive, it seems like it's crisp, but it's not nearly as hard as some of the hard apples.
Yeah,
very cool. And one thing that's really neat about the Honeycrisp, in 2006, the Better World Report recognized the top 25 innovations of the decade and recognized the Honeycrisp.
Yeah.
So that's just like, wow, so cool.
Very, very cool. Jerry in Ocana Falls coming up next with a question. But first, a reminder, our guest today, Joan Donatelli, author of Astonishing Apples. And you may have an apple question, or maybe you've got an experience to share relating to apples. Call in 1-800-642-1234. Give us a call. Rebecca Haas, our on-air producer today. I'm Larry Mueller on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks for tuning in today on the Ideas Net. Larry Mueller here with my guest Joan Donatelli talking about apples. Coming up a little bit later on, we're going to switch from apples to squash and squash varieties in your fall cooking. So that's at 11:45. But right now, on to apples. Call in 1-800-642-1234. Let's turn to Jerry in Ocano Falls. Jerry, thank you for calling.
Morning, guys. Great show. I actually eat an apple a day at least, maybe two sometimes. But anyhow, I was wondering what people normally use to press the apples to make apple juice or apple cider. Can you use, are the old Enterprise cast iron presses that they use for sausage stuffers, some have screens in, can they be used to make apple juice or...
Well, my experience has really been using the more modern equipment that we have in kitchens. So in the smaller scale at home, typically either just chopping, hand chopping, or using the food processor. And I know there's probably lots of other antique equipment and out there, and I would say, you know, try to contact the manufacturer for better details.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I've got an idea that. So, what do you use? You use a food processor, right?
Yeah, I chop it up in a food processor, and then you just put it with cheesecloth, and you let it drip, and it's amazing how much juice will come out of the apples.
I've got a Vitamix machine. I wonder if that'd probably work pretty well for it.
Yeah, that works too.
Yeah, very good. All right. Thanks, Jerry. Let's go to Anna in Green Bay. Anne, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi. Good morning. I hope my phone's not too scratchy. I just wanted to remind people about the Golden Delicious. I love to bake with it. I have never cared for the Red Delicious, so I don't want people to think the Golden Delicious isn't worth a try because it's a great apple.
All right, the Golden Delicious. Ann puts a vote in for Golden Delicious.
Yeah, that is a nice one. I like that one, too. And it's interesting, the Red Delicious originally came from Iowa. And I think that a lot of people probably don't know that.
And the Golden Delicious, now how would you use the Golden Delicious, Joan?
Well, the Golden Delicious is a sweet apple, and I agree, it's nice to bake with. And it's a good eating apple, too, so it can go in your salads as well.
Mm-hmm. All right. There you go. Ann, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. Mark in Apple Valley. What a great place to be calling from. Hi, Mark.
Hello. Three things about apples. The Harrelson's my most favorite. I just love apple with my lunch. It doesn't feel complete until I've had an apple. It's a nice treat at the end of the day, too. And then a song that my dad always used to say is, apple pie with out cheese is like a kiss without the squeeze.
Yeah, that's my father-in-law, Ed, always says that, too. Whenever he has pie, he has to have good Wisconsin cheddar cheese with it.
And there's another, and thanks a lot, Mark, for calling. There's another thing. Why does it, they are so good together. Piece of apple pie and a nice slab of cheddar cheese, a good cheddar.
It is. It's another classic, and I don't know why either, but somebody, whoever discovered it.
Whoever discovered it found a good thing.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Doug in Deerfield has a question for you. Hi, Doug.
Hi. My grandmother used to make apple pickle, and she used a variety of apples that I know is no longer very popular. It's kind of a heritage variety. And I was thinking of making some, and I'm wondering if you happen to know the variety.
All right. What's a good variety for apple pickles?
Gosh, I don't know. Did it have cinnamon in it also?
May have.
Yeah, that's a question that I can't really answer. I don't know. I know that there are a lot of interest in the heritage varieties, and of course the varieties that we have now are much sweeter, so I guess I would go with a less sweet, maybe a more tart apple for pickling.
Yeah?
Well, a pickle was on the sweet side, I guess that's why I liked them.
Oh.
Okay. So it was more like a sweet.
Mm. Yeah, I'm thinking something like a, it's not a Jonathan, but.
A sweet one.
And I would say probably firm. You want a firm texture.
Yeah.
All right.
Yes.
So, So what do we got for sweet and firm, Joan?
Sweet and firm. We have the Fireside is sweet and firm, and that's available in early October. The Frostbite is a newer one, and that's very sweet and firm.
Hmm. I don't know that one. I haven't had
one. That's a brand new one, and it's wonderful. That's going to be available in the next couple of weeks. Let's see. Hazen, a little less familiar. That one is sweet and firm. Honey Gold, sweet and firm.
Mm-hmm.
And
well,
let's
that's
see.
Three good
the
ones
Macon,
right there.
Macon Apple, sweet, rich, and firm.
Macon.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And Macintosh is sweet and firm.
Yeah.
So there's quite a few to pick
from. Yeah, there's
quite
a few out there. Good luck, Doug. Thanks a lot for calling. I appreciate it. I should mention that we have some recipes, as long as we're talking about recipes and stuff, up on our Facebook page, and they come from Joan's book. It was kind enough, the Minnesota Historical Society Press and Joan were kind enough to allow us to post a couple. One, the puff pastry honey glazed apple tarts. And that one, that's somebody mentioned Harrelson apples earlier, and that's one where you like Harrelson apples with this puff pastry, and it's it never ceases to impress your guests, I don't think.
Well, that's just right. You know, puff pastry is pretty easy to work with. When you buy the frozen variety, it's at the grocery store. A lot of the work is taken out of it already, and it always makes a wonderful presentation. And the Harrelson apple continues to be a fabulous apple. That one was actually released in 1922. So, but it's firm and it's complex, and you know it's wonderful for baking because of the firm texture. It doesn't cook down to mush. It retains its complex flavor and a little bit of its texture.
And that puff pastry honey glazed apple tarts recipe, it doesn't look like it takes not all that hard to put together from the look of it.
Well, it doesn't, and that's what the beauty of it is, because you can have something really spectacular, kind of quick and easy if you have some apples and you have an extra package of puff pastry in your freezer.
And you mentioned the Honeycrisp earlier, and I want to get this out, too, because we also are posting or have posted, Cheyenne's got it up there, roasted pumpkin apple soup. But, boy, does that sound good.
Oh, I love that soup. Just a combination of all the flavors. And, you know, as soon as there's a little bit of a crisp chill in the air, we love apples and we love soup.
Well, that's for sure. And this roasted pumpkin apple soup is one I'm going to try. You know, we haven't posted it. There's many, obviously, that we haven't posted. We posted those, too. But Cheyenne Lentz, our producer, she said, oh, I'm going to take the book home and do the cheddar apple cornbread.
Oh, yeah.
That struck a chord with Cheyenne.
Uh-huh.
And I said, well, bring some to work.
Yeah, it makes a nice big batch, so she should definitely share. I love to serve that with chili.
Oh, would that be good with chili? Oh,
yeah.
You're making me hungry here. Definitely making me hungry. Don in Portage, thanks for calling. Hi.
Hi there. I'm wondering what your guests might have to say about the ambrosia apple, particularly as an eating apple.
Ambrosia apple.
Ambrosia.
Do you know that one? I don't know that one.
I don't know that one. Where is it grown? Is it grown near where you live?
I'm not exactly sure, but it's a wonderful apple, and it's similar to a Honeycrisp, smaller in size and very less expensive than.
If it's very less expensive, but it must be a local one then.
Yep, I will. Well, here we go, ambrosia apples. Let's see. It's a Canadian.
Oh, Canada.
Apple, British Columbia, was released in the early 1990s.
Well, mm-hmm. I that's another one I didn't know, ambrosia. And it's a good flavored apple. Sounds like sort of similar to Honeycrisp.
Yeah, I'm not seeing a description right here. Let me see. glossy, mostly red, glossy with yellow patches, cream-colored, firm flesh, reminiscent of pear.
Oh, a
and
pear.
Low acidity.
Oh.
So it sounds like it's sweet.
Yeah, for sure. Don, thanks a lot for pointing that out. We're Joan's learning a little, and I'm learning a little bit here.
It just goes to show you, 2,500 apples, that's a lot of apples.
It sure is. Thanks again, Don. Dean in Spring Valley, your turn. Hi, Dean.
Hi. I had a suggestion for the fellow that was interested in pickling apples.
Yeah.
I remember that from my youth, and it seems like it was a Whitney crab.
Whitney crab.
Yep. That's an old apple, and it's a small apple, so it fits in the jars pretty good.
Oh.
And I think a lot of the sweetness came from the pickling solution, the cinnamon and sugar that was in with that.
So those are they, there must be cored then, but they're whole?
No, they're put in the jar whole, so the core and everything goes in.
Oh, okay. You know, somehow I envisioned sliced up apples is what I had in mind.
These were, at least the ones I had, they went in the jar whole.
Oh, very interesting. Thanks, Dean.
They hold their shape real well.
Oh. So that's Whitney crab.
Yep.
All right. Whitney crab apple. There's another one I haven't heard of. There are a lot of things
I
that I don't know, as you're finding out today, Joan. I know a couple of things, but not as much as I wish I did know. Main dishes, you talked about main dishes, and what role does the apple play in main dishes?
Well, most of the time it adds to the crunch or the flavor. It adds usually a sweetness, and I like to think about it in the same way as if you add raisins to an entree or, you know, a lot of the root vegetables when they're roasted add a sweetness. So as I was thinking about how could I insert apples into entrees and doing some research, you know, you have the nutrition part, but also you have the flavor part to consider. And
when you mentioned raisins, you got me right away thinking about, what did you get me thinking about? Stuffings.
Yes.
And you've got a good one, an apple walnut stuffing that really sounds good.
Well, thank you. I'm glad that's appealing to you. I think it is good, too. I think it's great for, you know, of course, during Thanksgiving is when we usually all eat stuffing, but it just makes a nice side dish.
I looked at the ingredients and then I thought, man, yeah, I would, I've got to try that out.
Well, it has, this one I use the ciabatta bread, which has a little bit bigger hole in the bread, and that gives it a certain kind of a crunch, and then a pork sausage, butter, celery, leeks, apples,
walnuts,
apple cider. Yeah, chicken broth, and then just a little bit of red pepper flake to give it some zip.
Mm-hmm.
Walnuts and then wild rice. And then, of course, sage. What would stuffing be without sage? But here I use fresh sage. And well, then some rosemary and some cheddar cheese.
Well, I just got my hands on some wild rice, too, and that's another reason I saw that, and I thought, oh, I've got this wild rice. I can make this stuffing right now. I don't have to wait till Thanksgiving.
No, serve it with a pork chop or serve it with a chicken breast or even salmon would be wonderful with some grilled salmon.
You know, I never even thought about salmon, but you're right. Why not? We had a Facebook question from Lynn who wants to know what apples are local in Wisconsin that I can use for pies. I don't like mealy sweet apples.
Okay, so we're looking for a firm, and I have a list from the Wisconsin, University of Wisconsin Extension, and so the let's see. We want to look at some that are available now in October.
Mm-hmm.
And there's the Empire. The Harrelson, of course, we talked about, is great for apples.
Empire. Has Empire, yeah. Is that a, where, was that a, it's not a New York, was it? New York.
It might have been. I think it possibly, yeah. And then the Cornell Red.
No.
The Fireside. The Jonathan is firm.
Yeah, I like Jonathan, too.
The Jonna Gold, sweet and firm. And
Golden Delicious wouldn't be firm, though, would it?
That is a little bit more medium. It's
yeah.
not soft, but it's a little more medium.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Then, let's see, there's some others.
Well, those are pretty good suggestions as far as I can see.
Mm-hmm.
We've jumped around a little bit here, but I know you've got apple appetizers, you've got breakfast, brunch, and breads. I love the idea of apple and bacon stuffed French toast.
Oh, my gosh, that is over the top.
Oh, I have not. Well, see, that's another one I haven't tried yet.
Yeah, and that one actually was inspired by a friend of mine who works at a cheese factory in Thorpe, Wisconsin. And she made a filled French toast with me, and I thought to myself, oh, there's only one thing that could make this better, and it would be adding apples. And then there's a little apple in the sauce, so it's definitely over the top, but really worth it when you want to have a nice Sunday brunch.
Oh, it sounds so good. And with a Gouda cheese, you've got apple cider in there, as you say.
It's with the Marieke Gouda.
Oh, boy, I'm telling you. It sounds absolutely wonderful. So that's a breakfast one and dish. And then you had appetizers. You had an apple rumaki.
Yes.
That I thought, wow, apple rumaki.
It is. It's instead of the water chestnut, you just put a slice of apple, a wedge of apple, and wrap it in prosciutto with some mozzarella and rosemary and black pepper, and then just...
Simple, but very elegant, and that would really taste...
Yeah, and you have that savory-sweet combination.
I love it. And I like the harvest apple salad. I think Cheyenne was... She liked the Caesar apple salad that you have, but I like that harvest apple salad. Lots of great ingredients in that one, including beets.
Mm-hmm.
Mixing mm-hmm. beets with apples.
Mm-hmm. Yep, the beets and the butternut squash, they all have their own kind of earthiness and sweetness. And then there's an apple spice blend in the dressing. Yeah, that's one of my favorites, too. And then, of course, garnish with a little bit of goat cheese.
Oh, yeah. Nancy in Waupaca has a question. Hi, Nancy.
Hi. I have a question for the author. I'm a freelance editor, and I had the pleasure of working on her book.
Hello.
Hi. Your publisher, Minnesota Historical Society Press, is one of my clients, so I work on their cookbooks. And I had great pleasure working on that book. And I have to say, you're a very good cookbook writer. Not everyone is. So you did a great job.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Yes, I really appreciated your insight because it takes many run-throughs to really put it together to make sure that people are going to be able to understand, you know, what you're doing.
That's absolutely right. And I had a question for you on Macintosh apples. I actually questioned the publisher on this, too. I live in Wisconsin and have for many years now, but I grew up in Massachusetts where Macintosh were the only apples we ate when I was a kid. And they were very, very tart. But you had listed it on that really helpful chart you have as sweet apples. And I wondered, is that a regional thing?
Hmm.
Good question.
Yeah, that is a good question. In this Wisconsin one, it lists as mildly tart. and tender.
Yeah. And they were very tart. When I grew up, we used to go picking them all the time. That was the only apple anybody ever ate. And great pie apples, but I would
And I think that the flavor and taste of apple of a particular variety changes over time, or can change over time.
Sure.
Yes, yes, that's true. That's true. And some apples will diminish and not be, you know, as good anymore. And it all has to do with them being a cultivar and why we have 2,500 varieties.
Well, it probably has to do with soil as well. I mean, like onions, where it all depends on the soil that you grow them in. I bet that has to do with it as well.
Yes, definitely. Terroir, the soil and the weather.
Exactly.
And that's so interesting, because that's one reason why they say that the best Honeycrisps still are grown here in Minnesota, because of the terroir, because of the cool nights and the moderate days and the time when they become mature.
So, and the soil.
It all plays into it. Mm-hmm.
Yes, sure does. Well, thank you. I had a wonderful time working on your book.
And thank you. It's wonderful to meet you on the radio.
Thanks, Nancy. Thanks so much for calling. Well, that's the first for me. I haven't had an editor of a book call in, but that was wonderful to have her call.
Yes.
Thanks, Nancy. We have so many other questions. One is from Lynn, who wondered about Braeburn and Winesap for pies. Do you have any information or background information on Braeburns?
Well, Braeburns are a lot are grown in Washington and Michigan, and the Braeburn is a very popular apple.
It's one that I like, and occasionally see it in the store. Or, it doesn't turn up so much on our farmer's market.
I just bought a couple of them yesterday. It's a cross between the Lady Hamilton and the Granny Smith, originally from New Zealand. And, of course, now they're grown all over the world. I think that I've had a good luck with it in salads, cooking.
Mm-hmm. Well, this has been, Joan, we're out of time. This has been a lot of fun. The time flew by, as it often does. Thank you so much for being with us today and really enjoying your book. And I hope we have a chance to talk again.
Well, thank you, Larry. It was my pleasure. And I hope everybody really enjoys the apple harvest season.
I'm with you on that one. I'm definitely with you on that one. And I know Joan Donatelli, by the way, her book is Astonishing Apples, and lots of great recipes. She has a pumpkin and apple soup recipe, but I bet you could also make a squash and apple soup. And how am I going to find that out? Well, I'm going to ask that of our next guest, Amanda Paugh, who's been with us a few times, back to talk about squash and her book, Smitten with Squash, next on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.